This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello everyone and welcome to the latest Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm Joe Rimmer and I'm joined here in the office on Old Hall Street in Liverpool by Kiefer McDonald. How are we, Kiefer?
Not too bad. Busy day you got to be speaking, new side of playing to get our teeth sunk into.
Definitely. And at home, having travelled up to Kirby to be at the Jurgen Klopp's press conference, is Ian Doyle. How are we, Ian?
I'm okay.
Great. Yeah, that's very nice. Well, I'll stick with you, Doyley, and get you to say a little bit more than that. You're very okay. That's good. I've been away for a couple of weeks, Doyley, and it's been quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, nothing's happened, Joe. You just get, you know, just a good time just to get your feet up, just let everybody else just crack on with nothing that's been happening.
especially a week ago today. But look, we'll talk about this week and we'll start at the end though. And talk about Liverpool's new signing. What are you thinking about Liverpool's new signing? Did you get that one as well? Did you get both references?
I'm choosing to ignore both of those because I feel as though we don't need the tone lowering any further, especially on your return to this podcast. Don't spit out your drink for anybody who's watching. Who isn't watching on YouTube, Joe nearly had a drink incident there. Well, let's be honest. At this time last week, was it only last week? Yeah. Was it really only last week? This time last week, they'd had a £110 million bid accepted for Caicedo, even though they were fair enough to say now that Liverpool kind of thought that he was going to go to Chelsea anyway. It would have taken a big effort for them to persuade him otherwise, although it did persuade Chelsea to spend all the money on him. What Liverpool then probably didn't expect is that Romeo Lavia, the player that they've been chasing for the last couple of weeks, then also opted to join Chelsea. And I saw some of his quotes that on his signing, that he said that one of the reasons that he joined Chelsea is because of their history, which does make me think, well, which history?
Quick one to come in there, because we discussed this in the office earlier. Because obviously that jumped out at us. But what's he, Lavia, 19? So to him, you know, his whole life, Chelsea have been a massive club, haven't they?
Hang on, you say past history, Liverpool, recent history, the past 5 years, still Liverpool. So is it a very specific time frame between him with the ages of 9 and 14 or something like that?
His head, though, they're neck and neck, if not Chelsea are a little bit.
The reality is that he gets paid that much money, he'll say whatever he wants. Yeah, I mean, it's the same for all these footballers. They're not going to join a club and say, I'm not joining this club for this history because they haven't got any, so why am I even here kind of thing. So we can't really get too upset about that. But the point you're trying to make is that even a couple of days ago, I reckon there'll have been most Liverpool supporters would have never heard of Wataru Endo. And funny enough is that it wasn't a name that leapt out to me until I then had a quick look and went, oh, hang on, I've watched this guy play for Japan. And he played quite well in the World Cup, didn't he? Because Japan beat Germany and beat Spain, although in the Spain game, he only came on for the last couple of minutes. And he was fairly decent in the next round game against Croatia, which Japan were a bit unlucky to lose, if I seem to recall correctly. So he does have those credentials. Obviously, he's not played in European competition, so he'll be looking forward to Europa League this season. And also, there's no, you know, beating around the bush in this, is that Liverpool, a lot of Liverpool fans will be exceptionally disappointed that this player has come to Liverpool when they consider the names of the other two that were meant to be coming. However, what you then can say on top of that is that they're buying somebody who has had 3 years in the Bundesliga, 4 years actually in the Bundesliga, three permanently at Stuttgart. Sorry, he's had three at the Bundesliga, he's had four at Stuttgart because he helped them get promotion in the first year. He's been the captain for the last two. He never misses a game. As we've seen, he can cut it on the international stage. So he's kind of passed all the tests that he's ever going to. And as Klopp said in his press conference today, he said he's obviously a bit of a late bloomer. I mean, he also said that Luis Diaz was a late bloomer when he signed him at 25. So, you know, how long has it taken Endo to do this? But, you know, at the age of 30, which, you know, anybody who's reached that age, Joe, you'll have long gone past that mile mark, slam mark, I should say. You know, things start to fall off a bit. So, in terms of a footballer, though, I think for the position that he plays and the amount of football that he's played in his career, although he's older than Fabinho, he can't really compare them in that respect because Fabinho's been at the top level for so long and played that many games that we saw last season. He's starting to look a little bit tired. But Endo is a player who, as I said, most fans won't really know that much about. They'll be very curious to see how he plays. But just going off what Jurgen Klopp said about him, you know, he's obviously somebody that he's followed all the way through the Bundesliga, because Klopp watches the Bundesliga all the time. He's German, so he'd have known all about him. And given also the reports that are coming out of Germany from, you know, the media there and some of the players who've spoken, they've all said, well, what a great signing this is. The worry for me, of course, and the worry for a lot of other fans is, well, why wasn't anybody else in for him? But then are people then falling into the trap that, not so much a trap, but this whole thing that you can't buy players who are 28, 29, 30 and expect them to be any good. But how old's Harry Kane? Is he 30?
Yeah.
So he's just gone to, I know, I'm not saying Endo is Harry Kane, but the point being is that if you are a good enough footballer, it doesn't matter what age you are, and the club that you're that's buying you thinks they can get a few years out of you, then they'll spend the money. And the people haven't spent that much money anyway. What was it, £16.25 million, according to the currency converter today? It was around 19 million euros, the deal. So in that sense, it's a bit of a no-brainer. And of course, the reality is Liverpool needed a defensive midfielder. We saw that all the way through the summer. We definitely saw that against Chelsea. And even if he plays to 75% of what he's done for a large part of the time in the Bundesliga, and he plays every single game because he's never injured, which is another bonus for Liverpool, is that he'll be a benefit to them. And if he just, you know, does a lot of the dirty work and allows the likes of McAllister and Szoboszlai, the other two new midfielders, to actually play the games that they were bought to play, then even better for him. I mean, going forward in terms of, like, well, what does this mean for Trent playing at right back? Does this mean he'll still be playing in the inverted fullback? I don't know whether he's the new guy Endo's ever played in that kind of system before. But, you know, that's what the training's for. That's what the training ground's for. That's what they're there to do and to learn. But for the time being, not sure whether he'll be available for the Bournemouth game yet. He's waiting on international clearance and his work permit. But he'll be playing against Newcastle next weekend. He'll be there, and he'll probably say to him, stay there, mind these lot, and let these others just run off and do what they need to do. And I think Liverpool have missed that, because although I'm sure we'll get onto him in a bit more detail, I'm sure Keeper's got some things to say on Endo, is that he actually scores quite a few goals for a defensive midfielder. I think last season in the Bundesliga, he got 5 goals and 5 assists. Now, I think probably Liverpool's entire midfield last year got that. You know, so there's going to be a bit of a change in that respect. But ultimately, what Liverpool need is somebody's going to be there, protect the back four, doesn't mind doing it, get stuck in, can run around. And by all accounts, that's all the things that Endo can do.
It's interesting, isn't it, Kiefer? Because whenever Liverpool sign or anyone signs any player, you know, the social media reaction is always interesting. And I think when they were first linked with him earlier this week, there was a bit of a negative reaction initially. Yeah. And then when it became clear that they were going to sign him, then it sort of flipped on its head, and suddenly it became like this player that was actually brilliant. No one had noticed, and Liverpool were doing this clever deal. I think probably, you know, I think there's a lot of people that I don't think many people will have watched Schalke every week, other than Schalke season ticket holders. So I don't think anyone will really know the truth, and the stats can be manipulated, as we've seen on Twitter this week. So I think the reality is that he probably falls somewhere in between. But Kiefer, do you think it's good? I think Dorian made a good point there about, I think nowadays people don't like to see clubs sign older players. Yeah. You know, every big club has this transfer policy where they spend a lot of money on 21, 22, 23-year-old players, and they don't go higher than that in terms of age. But we've seen before where Liverpool have either not signed anyone when they've needed a certain position and paid for it, or they've signed someone like Ragnar Klavan, who came in and did a good job for 18 months, 2 years. Where do you stand on it? Do you think it's quite a clever signing for Liverpool, or does it all depend on what comes next?
I think initially, I completely understood the reaction on why people were maybe a bit miffed that, you know, Liverpool had gone from this time last week looking at Moises Caicedo and potentially Romeo Lavia to then getting this lad from the Bundesliga that, you know, people who don't watch the Bundesliga regularly, he's not like a household name, is he? As you say, only people who watch Stuttgart on a regular basis or the Bundesliga, you know, would really, you know, give you a real rundown of what he can bring to Liverpool. But then I think, you know, people who obviously watch far more Bundesliga than all of us were kind of weighing in and saying, yeah, this is a really clever sign and he brings this, this and this. And I think then when that settles and you hear what Klopp says and like I say, you hear all these glowing appraisals of him, you think, well, you can see where it fits. And I wrote something yesterday for the site, you know, saying that he kind of fits the mold of what James Milner was. I know he came on a free, you know, 8 years ago, but he was 29 at the time, and a wealth of experience in England international. Could play in a few positions, even though he came to Liverpool once by centre mid. midfield. You can kind of see the parallels. And, you know, everyone was crying out for James Milner. Certainly Jurgen Klopp was fighting his corner to kind of get that extension and do one more year. And I think if he had signed that, no one would have had kind of, you know, anything bad to say. You know what you get with James Milner. And this, you know, feels, obviously he's 30 years old, he's not 37, but it kind of feels similar to that. I think also, as Doyle says, he probably will, well, he will play at Newcastle next week, you know, providing Liverpool get someone in, you know, really quickly. But I think also for the remainder of the window, it probably strengthens Liverpool's hand slightly, because, you know, everyone knows that after missing out on Caicedo and Labia, that they were kind of after a holding midfielder. And we know it's already a market where there's, you know, there's not a great deal of value. You are paying massively over the odds. You know, Caicedo in 150 million would have been that. But I think now at least Liverpool have given themselves a bit more breathing room. Certainly looking at that trip to Newcastle next week, I mean, that game against Aston Villa in transition, I thought they were frightening, and how they went back to front so quickly. And you know, you're thinking, watching Liverpool last week off the ball, you're thinking, well, if they're coming up against the pace of Isak and Gordon and those kind of players, it could be a worrying afternoon. But now they've got someone in who can hold that position. And as Dolly says, it allows the other lads, Szoboszlai and McAllister, who I thought were really bright on the ball at Chelsea, it allows them that freedom to actually play the position they were brought in for. But also in negotiations, Liverpool aren't now at panic stations. They have a bit more time. They have, you know, 2 weeks or less till the window closes. A bit more due diligence instead of rushing into a, you know, 80, 90, 100 million pound signing that, you know, might not fit the bill, but, you know, they might necessarily need straight away. So certainly from that aspect, it is pleasing. And, you know, he's, I think the interesting part is that he obviously has played in the Bundesliga too, where I'm sure Stuttgart would have enjoyed more of the ball. Obviously, they were one of the bigger sides in that division. And obviously going into the Bundesliga in recent years, they would have obviously had to alter their game plan slightly. Same for Japan in the World Cup. You know, they were the minnows, weren't they? But they beat Germany, beat Spain. So, you know, he certainly would have had to play in different systems and adapted his game. So I think from that, it ticks loads of boxes. It's not a huge outlay. You know, I think a four-year contract, and, you know, even if Liverpool were to sell him in 2 years, you'd imagine having played, you know, say 50 games for Liverpool, his value would probably be somewhere between 7 and 10 million, which if you get two good years out of him, and, you know, he helps, I don't know, a younger defensive midfielder come through, and also the likes of Vucetic, Elliott, and those who are learning their craft, you'd think it's probably a decent deal for all parties involved. And I think even today, just hearing what Klopp had to say about him, I mean, it sounds, you know, pretty low, but in terms of just saying that he's got a massive heart and he'll kick the ball, he'll run around and kind of do all that, that's literally what Liverpool need at the minute. Yes, Caicedo would have been brilliant, but I think they just need an out-and-out number six at the minute. And, you know, this lad seems like he's dying for the opportunity, and, you know, he sounds delighted to be playing at Anfield if he does play tomorrow. So, you know, best of luck to him, and hopefully, like I say, he can really set Liverpool up now for this big game, not only tomorrow if he does play, but also next week at Newcastle.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Doyle, you are an experienced man. Experience is important, isn't it? And Liverpool lost, as Keith has just touched on, plenty of experience this summer, especially in that middle of the park. So, you know, are you sort of quite happy to see Liverpool sign a slightly older player and break their model? As Klopp said today in his quotes to the club website after signing them, it's not an age range that Liverpool usually sign in.
Well, first thing, you called them Schalke in Stuttgart. Second thing,
yeah,
you said Schalke earlier. it's all right, it's your first day back, we'll let you off. Second thing, it doesn't really matter how old players are. I mean, okay, let's put it this way. This time last year, Liverpool had one of the oldest midfields going, and everyone was worried about it. And now, people at the start of the season are going, well, hang on, there's only Thiago who's over the age of 24 as a midfielder. They're not old enough. So, I do think
we may have lost Ian, so we'll
carry on.
We'll carry on.
I think kind of what he's probably saying is that last year they
he's back. Hello?
He's back. He's back.
I stayed here. You're the ones that disappeared. I could hear you chuttering away to yourselves. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, this time last year, everyone was saying that Liverpool had the oldest midfield, you know, one of the oldest midfields, one of the oldest teams in the Premier League, and there was a lot of concern over that. I think this summer there's been more concern that's gone the other way, where you've got the likes of Szoboszlai's coming at 22, Bacetic is getting through, he's 18, Curtis Jones is going to be playing more, he's 22, Harvey Elliott's 20, McAllister's only 24, and it meant that only Thiago is over the age of 24, he's 31. So they've lost a lot of experience with Fabinho, Henderson, Milner, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita. I mean, not all of those played, but all of those were always around the squad. So they were able to impart their wisdom on whoever, on the youngsters. So getting someone like Endo in, who is you know, he can speak English for a start, so that helps. That won't really need that much acclimatization in that. And of course, as we know, he played alongside Nat Phillips when he was in the first season at Stuttgart, so he knows a little bit about Liverpool, and he's already spoken to Takumi Minamino. So I think in terms of the age, I wouldn't be too fussed. I'd be more bothered if all of the players Liverpool were signing were that age. But the reality is, if they carry on signing players, all of them are 22, 23, 24, they'll all get old at exactly the same time. And then have to buy a load of young ones, and it'll just go round and round in circles. So you do need a little bit of variety in the squad. And I don't think Liverpool, while I know FSG like to sign younger players who've got the ability to gain value through the potential and then possibly have a resale value, I don't necessarily think that Endo's going to have that. But I do think that he's somebody who can make a difference straight away. He's got that experience. And I think, just generally speaking, Liverpool shouldn't be afraid of signing someone like... I mean, they did it with Clavan, didn't they? Mm-hmm. What was it? He was the last player that they bought that was that age. What was that, seven years ago? And they got a couple of good seasons out of him and got to the Champions League final at the end of one of them. So you'd settle for that.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I want to ask you both. It's been a bit, obviously, a crazy week. I want to ask you both what you thought of it. There's been a lot of criticism of Liverpool. A little bit of praise for Liverpool with the recent signing. But, I mean, in my mind, I mean, Schmacker has taken a bit of a battering at times, but I don't really know. I think it's difficult. I think that, obviously, I don't know how highly they really rated Lavia. I think if they really wanted him, I think they really would have put their foot down earlier to get him. And they clearly rated Caicedo quite highly, and I think they obviously got a bit of a hint from his camp that he would be willing to go there before being sort of played. Keith, what do you think of the last week? Do you think it's exposed problems at Liverpool? Is it just a case of bad luck in parts? Yeah, where do you stand on it?
I think it's just wild, and I think the whole summer has been wild, and obviously Klopp spoke today, didn't he, about the kind of influence of Saudi Arabia, and I know we keep going back to that, but that is a real focal point of Liverpool summer and one that has caused huge disruption. You know, if they were sitting here now with Jordan Henderson and Fabinho in their ranks, and I know they wouldn't have, you know, the 50 million quid extra, but they would have two, you know, senior holding defensive midfielders. They wouldn't be on this, you know, late night scramble kind of thing to bring in a Caicedo or a Lavia. They probably would have had more rooms to kind of play with Lavia, but, you know, Southampton probably would have budged if they knew Liverpool had Fabinho and Henderson. But the fact that they didn't, you know, Southampton and every other club knew that Liverpool had money to spend also, but also we're in desperate need of someone and someone quick. As you say, I'm not sure how, not convinced by Lavia, but I think given how similar he is to Pesetic, you know, to go and spend, you know, 58 million, whatever the total package Chelsea agreed on, with someone who you have a very similar like model to in your, you know, has come for your academy in recent years and has also displayed versatility and done really well in a sinking midfield last year, I think that shouldn't be lost. And he's probably become a little bit forgotten given that he didn't play the last, you know, game of the season. But, you know, Pesetic, as I say, was one of the shining lights of that season. So I don't think Liverpool, as Klopp said today, I don't think they're in dire need long term. It's literally just kind of the short term that you're really thinking of. You know, Thiago's done a bit in that role by Munich in the past. I know that was in kind of a two-man, but Pesetic as well has played there last year. So it was just kind of getting someone who could come in straight away, and obviously why they were willing to pay the big bucks for Caicedo. As Dolly says, it was a different age profile to Pesetic. He was, you know, I think 21, 22, Caicedo. So they're slightly older, but also a bit younger than the lads that have just come in McAllister and Szoboszlai. But I think, you know, whilst it's, you know, maybe people might say it's a bit embarrassing and that Liverpool didn't get Caicedo. I mean, they couldn't have done anything else.
I thought they put
all the cards out there, yes, with the money that they had to spend, and maybe that prohibited them in getting Lavia. But I thought, in terms of acting, you know, bullish, what people have been crying out for. Yeah, I mean, last summer they went for Tuameni, he didn't come, and there's no shame in being rejected by Real Madrid. And I think now with Chelsea and the contracts they're handing out and the financial security that it's offering young players of 19, 20, you know, 21, I don't think there's any shame in Liverpool losing out to that. And, you know, clearly there's a loophole that, you know, Chelsea are exploiting and exploiting well. But, you know, I don't see how it can kind of go on long term. And I feel those kind of players are probably never going to be offered contracts at 7-8 years on, you know, 200, 150 grand a week. So I think Liverpool did everything they could to get Caicedo. And as you say, probably got played in the end. But, you know, now I think, you know, that lad at Palace is someone that Decore, I think he would be quite okay. Again, 23, 24, had a season in the Premier League, has played abroad, got international experience. He ticks the boxes, got room for improvement. But I think this kind of signing now is Ovendo is a shrewd one, and it's bought them time, which I think, you know, time is money in football. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a difference between 10, 15 million, and also in the immediate, you know, next 10 days, it could be the difference between 6 and no points. You know, now Liverpool have a holding midfielder, and you can kind of gloss over what you saw in the second half against Chelsea and be like, well, you know, if you kind of complete the full midfield, because it literally felt like any holding midfielder of any age, you know, whether it be 70, could have played at Stamford Bridge and Liverpool would have been better for it. I just think they got pulled from pillar to post, especially in the second half. But I think now they've got those foundations, you know, the McAllisters and Szoboszlai should really flourish. And hopefully we'll see that tomorrow. But if not, you know, no bigger game than, you know, Newcastle, who are another team spending big, and Liverpool will be looking to challenge for in the, you know, the medium to long term.
Dory, what have you made the last week? I mean, is it just a case of, for better or worse, in the past several years, Liverpool have always felt in control in the transfer market, even if they didn't sign anyone? It very much felt like Liverpool's decision not to. Is it just a case of this week was a bit chaotic?
Well, not sure chaotic's the right word. I mean, with Casado, as you mentioned, he was always going to Chelsea. I think with Lavia, Liverpool had a value on him, didn't want to go above it. So I suppose in that respect, for Casado, I agree, they weren't embarrassed at all. I just think it's just one word. Chelsea have just got so much money, they can afford to do that. Quite whether they can do it inside financial fair play regulations, I'm pretty sure we'll find out over time. But I mean, they have just, what is it? They're just selling a player for £35 million to Newcastle, and
Lewis
Chelsea. Chelsea are partly owned by Saudi Arabia, and Newcastle are majority owned by Saudi Arabia. So, you know, the obviously there's quite a lot of money gone on selling a player who's only, what was it, 18, has only played 11 games. So, interesting. But I think with Liverpool, Lavia, basically Chelsea did what Liverpool can't afford to do. They can pay the asking price for Lavia because Liverpool just haven't got enough money to take a chance on a player like that. If they could do, they would have done. They would have had it done by now anyway, ages ago. But somewhere you've got to say respect to them for sticking to the, you know, they weren't wavering from the value. They stuck to the policy, the way that they wanted.
They did agree eventually to pay that money for Lavia.
Well,
so they did waver in the end. I think it would have been better for Liverpool.
Did they definitely have the £60 million bid in?
Yeah, well, Southampton said that their chief executive, I think he said that they'd accepted a bid from Liverpool.
But you do get the impression, though, that irrespective of whether that's true, I mean, regardless of that, the player himself probably looked at it and went, why aren't they paying this amount of money for me? If you see what I mean? You just went a little bit, and then a little bit more. So I do think that Liverpool, I don't blame them for that one. And they could just turn around and argue, well, we're going to get this player now for, what, 16 and a quarter million pounds, and he'll play all right for a couple of years, and then we can just go and buy somebody else, which is probably exactly what'll happen anyway.
Well, in terms of buying other people, Donny, you were at the Jürgen Klopp press conference today. He spoke a little bit about transfers, a lot about transfers, a lot about Saudi Arabia, injuries. Do you want to give us a bit of a recap of some of the things he spoke about, and then we'll speak about potential next transfers, that sort of thing, afterwards?
Well, he just said that they're in the market for trying to sign at least one other player. They're always going to look. There's still 2 weeks to go. Doesn't expect any major outgoings. He says that Saudi Arabia has kind of complicated things a bit. You can see that across the league. And he says that it's a bit difficult when they've got no kind of, it doesn't look as though they've got any restrictions over the amount of money they can spend, which of course the teams in Europe technically do have, because not sure whether there's any financial fair play in Saudi Arabia, not just regards football either. So we have to wait and see on that. And in terms of anything else, what did he say? Well, they played Bournemouth, haven't they? So he basically said that. The actual football game that's actually gets played, these games that get in the way of the transfer news. So,
yeah,
he also mentioned a little bit about how he spoke quite well of the Bournemouth manager, actually, saying that they're expecting a bit of a different kind of test. And people, well, let's face it, they're not going to win 9-0, are they? So, it will be something different for them on Saturday. But obviously, you want to talk about the transfers. So, go on.
Well, I was going to ask you now, what do you think in terms of the next moves? Do you think they could go for another midfielder to complement Endo? Do you think Endo is the Endo of their midfield ambitions as far as this summer is concerned?
When you first did it, and it hasn't got any more funny.
Well, I don't know about that. Someone I noticed one of our excellent listeners commenting in the corner. They clearly enjoy the same sort of thing. And I think you're just jealous you didn't think of it first.
No, I think everybody thought of it, but they just thought better of actually using it. They thought if Joe's going to come out, he liked to put it on, didn't you?
So.
But he still laughed, doesn't he? He sat right next to you. Right. So going back to the transfers, I don't think they'll get another midfielder in, certainly not a defensive midfielder. Don't see any point. You're giving it the big up to Endo. And if he's going to be fit and play, he'll be playing. And then obviously then you've got percentages back, and then you can move around the other players and give them more opportunities in that position with a bit more security and the fact that you've already got somebody in there who can actually do it. So that'll be interesting to see what happens a bit further down the line, certainly with the League Cup games and the Europa League games. I think if they're going to sign anybody, I think they'd definitely be in for centre-back. I think they need another one. Nat Phillips hasn't featured at all in the summer, which suggests that he's being prepared to be sold. And we already know that Van Dijk and Matip are both in the 30s. Gomez has been, if not injury-prone, then certainly prone to lapses in concentration and that therefore affect his form. And in terms of Matip, of course, he's out of contract at the end of the season. So he's somebody who's going to be, as we're led to believe, he's going to be on the way anyway. So looking forward, that's the next position that they definitely need to sign a player. So if they're going to bring anybody in, I think it'd be a centre-back.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Do you think, Kiefer, it's slightly worrying in terms of the centre-halves that Liverpool have... They've spent much of the summer pursuing this defensive midfielder after Fabinho's departure. We've sort of seen the names. I mean, it doesn't matter. Let's face it. You know, Szoboszlai wasn't someone that was linked heavily with Liverpool before they signed it. Mm. I think you could say the same about McAllister. I think you could say, but you certainly said the same about Vitor Wendel. I suppose it doesn't really matter that there aren't significant names being linked. But do you think this is a big priority for Liverpool now in the next 2 weeks? They don't want to get through to next season and be in the same situation next summer.
I think so. I think because, you know, the way Liverpool like to kind of plan stuff is, you know, do stuff in advance, don't they? We've seen that with Gakpo coming in, you know, with Diaz the year before last. So, you know, certainly to bring in it, I always think of Konate and, you know, looking back on it now, they struck gold with him and kind of his status. And you know, he's another one who kind of went under the radar, didn't it? Like, so with Upper McCartney just alongside him and, you know, Liverpool made 36 million, but by the end of that season, he was starting in the Champions League final. But he took, you know, the first half of the season, he wasn't playing the Premier League games, kind of playing here and there. And now, you know, last season, you know, barring injuries, he was Liverpool's first choice, and now he looks, you know, central to this new system. So that's kind of the ideal, you know, next defender. You would bring in someone kind of akin to Konate, who's at that kind of similar profile, who's experienced enough to be dropped in, has got enough games under the belt, has, you know, proven themselves on a big stage, but also has got room for growth and improvement. And to kind of do that, you would expect someone to kind of come in now and then maybe wait the time for a year by the time. And then, you know, by the time Matip, you know, does go, if he does go next summer on a free, then he'd be ready to step up and do it that way. But I agree with you. I think this midfield, you know, the sideshow that has been the last couple of weeks has obviously taken so much of Liverpool's time, you know, and resources as well. You know, people looking, they're sanctioning different moves and trying to, you know, scout new midfielders. So I wonder whether we'll see. I agree with Dolly, we need one in, but I'm not sure who they'd go for because I still think they need another midfielder. I just think to go from, you know, I think Endo's a great signing, but I said it yesterday, I don't think he's great on his own. I think there's room maybe to be exposed there. I think if he's, you know,
does he not buy them the time?
He does. I think he buys, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot of time, but I think he buys them until the end of the window, which is, you know, it's what, only 14 days, whatever. But I mean, prior to that, everyone was saying you need someone in for Newcastle because as we saw last year, if Liverpool have a slow start, they then are made to pay for it for the remainder of the season. So, you know, time is money and money is points, isn't it? So I still think they need someone. And I think, as I say, it will maybe there's clearly they'll have targets lined up and maybe they're just waiting to see, you know, who's going to budge. Palace have kept Elise, which was probably unexpected.
Yeah.
They've obviously tied him down to a new deal. So whether they'd be open to, you know, selling Decore now, you know, even if it's an inflated fee, it's probably will certainly be cheaper than what it had been if Elise had gone to Chelsea and they'd already lost Saha. So I think from that they can maybe afford to kind of cap what they've got. They've got Bournemouth, Newcastle, then I think Villa's after the deadline, isn't it? So they've got the two games now before transfer deadline day, and maybe they can kind of camp it out and just see if anyone kind of moves.
It feels like they might be waiting on Gravenberch, doesn't it? You know, we know that they've liked him all summer, that they've kept him, and that perhaps they're just waiting to see whether Bayern Munich's hands fall.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Because it, you know, very much felt like Liverpool had no negotiation, well, no strong hand for negotiation, considering, you know, everyone knew their problems. But now, as I say, they've got someone in short term, and they can, you know, bluff this as, you know, this is what's done for the season, or certainly in midfield. But then I suppose it does give them, you know, an element of to kind of explore other things and see who moves. And if they do end up getting, you know, someone like Decore from Palace, I then think Endo is really good, because as we said then, you've got staggered age profiles. They've got lads for Europa League in Bacetic, who, you know, bedded again this season. You know, build him up. You don't want to break his body down again. You've got Thiago, who, you know, a fantastic player, but his body probably can't be trusted to, you know, to play third this Sunday. And then you've got Endo, who can, you know, maybe do a bit of everything and kind of drop in here and there in the cup game. So I think if they get one more, I think it, for me, it'll have to be a midfielder.
Yeah. Well, they do play a football match tomorrow, Doyle. Bacetic won't be involved, neither would Thiago. We're not sure whether Endo will be involved just yet. Probably looks unlikely if they didn't get international clearance for him. But, I mean, I know you've probably spoken about it on length, you know, the pods. But where do you both feel about the start of the season? You know, I've listened to it, obviously, I was abroad, watched it, listened to a couple of pods afterwards, and it seemed to really split opinion. But I came out of it personally in a very positive mood. Obviously, Chelsea dominated possession at times, and I think Klopp, didn't he say, what did he say today? It was an absolute joke having 35% possession. But I thought at times there were some really good glimpses of quality. Doyle, where did you stand on it? Did you come out of that game feeling more positive about Liverpool's season, less positive, or neither?
That was exactly the same as when I first went into it, to be honest. I felt as though Liverpool needed a defensive midfielder, correct. They'd be quite good going forward, correct. Defensively, there's some issues, correct. Not convinced on the new formation, correct. The keeper's quite good, correct. So Chelsea are a bit annoying, correct. Chelsea probably aren't as good as Liverpool, probably correct, to be honest. Although I think that was before they've just made 13,000 signings this week. So I think for them, it's probably slightly misleading their performance. In some ways, then it was a good time to play him. Going to Chelsea away is always a difficult game, especially when you haven't got a defensive midfielder. So to go there, get a draw, I think that'll be a place a lot of teams won't want to go to this season, certainly when they get firing under Pochettino. So for Liverpool, I mean, I saw lots of people saying Liverpool are absolutely atrocious, terrible, this, that and the other. And it's like, it's the first game of the season. If you're brilliant on the first game of the season, something's wrong for a start. Because you shouldn't really be doing that. You just set yourself up for a fall then. And how many times have Liverpool started a season strongly in the past and then just fallen away massively? Not that I'm saying they don't need to get good results, but you know, I think for a team that had such an overhaul in midfield, and that was a midfield that had never started a game before for obvious reasons, and two of them were making the debuts there. I thought they did all right, to be honest. There's lots of work to, you know, things to work on which we know about. I mean, my only concern is definitely the whole structure of that formation went defensively. And I would like to see what happens when Endo comes in and starts playing a bit more, see whether or not that just means they just retreat back to a, you know, normal 4-3-3. Or the fact that, as was mentioned when he signed, is that not only can he play centre-back, he can play right-back as well. So is he going to be somebody that drops into that right-back when Trent goes wandering off upfield? Could be. Then you're going back to that's what Henderson used to do. So from Hendo to Endo, and it's taken us 33 minutes to put that one in.
So I think both of mine were better than from Hendo to Endo.
Not really, because at least mine actually was applicable to what I was actually saying. You just made yours up.
Well, I got both of my, well, not having that. Not having that. we'll move on. You know, to be fair, I don't fully agree with what you said about playing well in the first game of the season. Liverpool played pretty well. I remember 2018, they beat West Ham, wasn't it? 4-0. Yeah.
Didn't win the league, though.
No, they didn't, but they started that season very well. They finished it very well, and they played very well throughout. I think what people underestimated going into the start of the season was going away at Chelsea. You know, Chelsea were never going to be the same team they were last season, finishing 12th. They were always going to be difficult to play away from home. And I thought Liverpool equipped themselves quite well, created some good chances.
There'll be loads of players in that squad playing for a place in Pochettino in 2 weeks. That's how we know futures. think as well, you know, given the events that happened.
Crowd up for it.
Absolutely. But also the fact that I thought Fernandes was brilliant for them. And if you saw Caicedo inside, and, you know, we kind of missed that, didn't we? Because, you know, we thought it was coming to Liverpool off the inside of Chelsea in time. So if you're going to Stamford Bridge in 6, 7, 8 weeks' time in the middle of October, November, when they, you know, kind of got up to gear and they got, you know, a really good two-man pivot, we saw how important that was when they won the league under, you know, under Conte, you know, the two defensive midfielders. So, you know, I certainly want to be going there now. And as Dolly says, it was, you know, there was certainly questions in transition and in defence, but I thought there was, you know, there was caveat reasons that wasn't there. So it wasn't as if I was scratching my head thinking, why has this not worked? Or why, you know, I thought Gakpo midfield was a strange choice, but one he had to make. And obviously McAllister at the stick, he kind of showed what he could do going forward, but again, it's not where he's going to be playing for the next, you know, 50 games of this season. So, you know, given the performance overall, you know, put it this way, you don't lose the league or lose your top four places by drawing at Stamford Bridge, do you? I mean, that's the most important thing.
No, I mean, if you draw at Stamford Bridge in 2 months' time, you know, depending on the games around it, you look at that as a good point, don't you? I thought Klopp spoke about Szoboszlai and McAllister Doyle in his press conference. I thought they both played very well. Szoboszlai in particular, I know McAllister made a sublime pass for the goal and had some really nice highlight moments, but I was just really impressed by the way Szoboszlai played on both sides, his physical presence. Klopp was very enthused about both of them, wasn't he, in his press conference?
Yes, I was less enthused by McAllister. I think I was one of the few who thought that he didn't, in terms of defensive number six role, I don't think he was particularly great in that. I think going forward there's no problems, but it's not his position. That's the whole reason why they brought in a defensive midfielder, to get them more out of the players that they've signed. So, yeah, Szoboszlai, I've seen him obviously play quite a few times in the summer, and he loves to tackle, loves to challenge, loves to press, loves running around.
So he takes a good corner as well, doesn't he?
Exactly. So in some ways, he's a very Klopp signing. So he's someone who's going to play quite a lot. Not the same type of player, but you can imagine that he'll be. He could fill like the Wijnaldum role in a way, in that he can get around. He's very durable. Doesn't seem to get injured very often. Although now he'll probably break his leg tomorrow or something. I've said that. But he can play in a variety of positions in midfield. I wouldn't want him as the defensive midfielder, but in all the other positions, he can do it left and right, as you say.
Yeah. Well, let's pick our teams for Bournemouth then. Keith, we'll start with you. Alisson, obviously, in goal. Back four
as usual, yeah. Trent, you know, hopefully if they do get this lad in time, Endo, you know, his job will be made slightly easier tomorrow. There's no real other obvious candidate. I mean, you certainly won't be starting Joe Gomez at Anfield against Bournemouth, I don't think. Van Dijk and Konate, I thought, were solid, you know, last week, did well. Konate especially.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Down the right-hand side, the girly doors.
Covered across a few times, didn't he? For Van Dijk on the left as well, it made a really good block on Sterling, I think, we went through the first half. And then Robertson, you know, still getting used to this system, you know, probably not the best football you see during his Liverpool career, but, you know, certainly deserves the opportunity, you think, after his one game, a type of game where he would flourish, it's, you know, where Liverpool are able to get bodies forward and kind of put crosses into the box. And, you know, you imagine tomorrow his role, yes, he'll be a bit more reserved than Trent will be, but he'll be able to get forward and get that license to kind of go forward again, like we saw in previous years.
Is there, this question's about, is there a few question marks about Robertson? I do think this new formation doesn't do him any great favours. He seems to have to do a lot of work the other way. And whilst he's up to the task at times, I think he looked very overworked at times at Chelsea. And I thought their danger often came down the right-hand side. But what do you think of Robertson? I just don't know whether that sort of formation favours him in the long term.
Well, he's essentially slotting in on our back three, and I don't think that suited him. I think also last week, I think Chelsea caught Liverpool out with their formation, didn't they? They kind of went to a back three, a back five, whatever you want to call it, and they doubled up, and Sterling kind of got freed into these. So I think Robertson was kind of, you know, conflicted whether to go or sit off. And, but I've always kind of said that about Robertson. I don't think, you know, he's the best defender in the world. I think he's obviously sometimes looked better because of Trent, and, you know, Trent typically starts 40 yards higher up. So Robertson's always seen as the more defensively solid one, but he's certainly not a ball-playing defender, is he, Robertson? He's very, you know, give it and go, put it in the box. But I think maybe, certainly not, I can't see Liverpool recruiting a fullback now, given how much they've got to do. But I think certainly if they stick with this system, which I will be surprised if they do long-term, I think, you know, there is some fair question marks to be had there. Obviously, signed a new contract in 2021, so he's another one, if you're looking, who does have resale value. You know, Liverpool are looking to kind of raise the pot in years to come. But I think he probably deserves, given what he's given to Liverpool over the last 5, 6 years, he probably deserves a fair crack at it, doesn't he, over there?
Sorry, I wasn't sitting.
No, I know what you're saying, but I just mean the wider picture. I think a lot of people have been quick to write him off after a few games, and you know, probably be the first to say that he's had to adapt his game. And I know Klopp said it a few times that, you know, he's had to stand off, and you know, he's a very instinctive presser, isn't he, Robertson? I don't think he's one who can sit back and wait for them to come. I mean, you know, the goal in the Champions League final in 2022 wasn't his fault. It came from him pressing out, and he Valverde, and he got turned, and they came down that side. So I think there's a few examples of it, but I think at the minute my kind of short term thinking is whether Liverpool are going to stay with this formation, because I think there's equally as many question marks of maybe flaws or holes with it, with that at the minute.
Is he one, Doyle, that benefits from an Endo?
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and find out. I think it's just one of those. Going back to what you said about Robertson, is I think every team needs a scapegoat, certain demographic or type of fans like a scapegoat. And with Henderson and Milner gone, it's Robertson who's getting it next. So I do think he's been attracting a little bit of that. Did he have a great game against Chelsea? Not particularly. Did he have an awful game? No. Better in the second half. And I just think it's just one of those things. I'm pretty sure, like all good footballers, he'll be able to adapt, and we'll soon see. But there's no chance that we're going to sign a left-back in the next 2 weeks. So he's just going to have to.
No, I just think it's very interesting, this formation. I think probably the answer lies that they will use it sometimes and not others. But if they stick with it, for Robertson, it's difficult. If they don't stick with it, for Trent, it might be more difficult, you know, and that for those two, I feel like they got very different roles now. When, you know, in the past, they were very much.
I think as well with Robertson, he's, you know, late 20s, isn't he? You know, be going to his 30s soon, and you know, as Dolly says, not scapegoating him at all. But I think whilst Trent's what, 24, 25, it's, you know, you can obviously see the long term vision of reinventing him and getting him as versatile as possible. With Robertson, you know, as I say, 29, 30, whatever he is, you know, it's harder to kind of sell that as, you know, we're going to invest in this time to redefine him as this, you know, new-sided left-back. I mean, it could well work, but at the same time, you know, he's probably one of the, as I say, not that they're going to sell him, but, you know, if you are looking at people probably next in the, you know, next to go, he's, you know, the next one, isn't he? The defenders, obviously, you know, looking at Van Dijk and Matip will probably be on the horizon, but I think Robertson as well. Liverpool do need to, in the next 12 to 24 months, bring in another young left back. You know, I think that would be the phasing of Robertson out. But as you say, there's certainly plenty to get out before that happens.
Yeah. Doyle, your midfield. I get
the feeling.
Sorry?
Haven't said defence, yeah.
I'm setting back four, sorry. Yeah, apologies. I just assume that you're going to say the same thing, but go on.
The same thing. And in midfield, McAllister on the right of the three, Sobersai on the left, and Curtis Jones playing in the middle as the defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
I would go the same. I'd go McAllister again if he was fit. If Ender's not registered. But I would go McAllister as the six, just because he's done it, and he's done it last week at Stamford Bridge. It feels a bit silly just to change. But I mean, whichever way they line up, you know, it's going to be a completely different game at Stamford Bridge. You're going to have more of the ball. Yeah. You can probably afford to not have a number six in that position, or certainly there's less risk than doing it at Stamford Bridge. So, you know, whether it be Jones or McAllister, you know, it's a natural number eight or number 10, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, you expect them to kind of have similar jobs, wouldn't you? They're all going to be interchanging in that midfield.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, like Doyle, I didn't love McAllister in the number six, but maybe that's just because they were away at Chelsea. And I think maybe at home, when you're seeing more of the ball, he might actually be quite nice in that position. So I would put in there, the only thing I would do is I would put Jones on the left, and I would put Szoboszlai on the right of that three. But like you said, they interchange a lot, and they all seem to have the ability to do that. Forward line, Kiefer?
Conflicted. Probably go Diaz on the left. Not slight on Jota or anything, but I think he was good last week. He worked hard and created a few chances. Obviously not his best game, but he's been one of Liverpool's best performers. But I think this game is probably one where you're looking to get at the full-backs. You know, you don't necessarily need a poacher for this one, I think. And then Gakpo, I'd go down the middle. I just think he makes Liverpool tick. And again, you could maybe argue that Jota's more of a natural pick, given the dominance Liverpool probably have. But I just think, you know, Liverpool might need to create an overload in midfield and, you know, drop somebody and drag a centre-half out. If it is going to be, you know, it will be a different form of side and managed differently to last season, certainly. But you know, you'd imagine they'd take a point before kickoff, and they're going to make Liverpool work for the goals and the 3 points. So I think Gakpo could be, you know, the kind of the key to unlocking that defence. And then I'll have Salah on the right.
Yeah. What about your three, Doyle?
Diaz on the left. Gakpo down the middle. Gakpo wasn't particularly great against Chelsea. And I don't want Gakpo in midfield again. And on the right, Salah.
Yeah, agreed. Similar reasons. find Jota hard to work out because he's worth his weight in goals. But at the same time, I find him so sloppy. And, you know, Klopp talked today in his press conference story about the way Liverpool use possession. And I find Jota just incredibly sloppy in possession. Constantly thinking about going forward, even if he's on his own half or the halfway line. And I just prefer Gakpo because, like you say, I think he brings Liverpool together better. I think he holds the ball better. I think he uses it in a better way than Jota. But then, again, they're at home. So
I think if you're playing away, I'd be probably more inclined to play Jota off the left. I just think where you're getting the pressing as well, and, you know, we know Klopp said about the pressing, you know, certainly it's an extra layer of defence for the midfield, and whilst that hasn't been no singing or dancing this summer, I think, you know, there's been an extra emphasis on the kind of attack and press of the front three. But I also think if you are playing, I always think of Tottenham a few years ago when you didn't get a kick for half an hour and you scored a header. And I just think if you're playing a big six team where, you know, chances are going to be of a premium, I think that's when you judge your best bet. But then I also flip it and think if you're searching for a goal, you know, at home, you know, if it is a hard game, a hard fought game, 1-1 heading into the last 20 minutes. I think he makes the biggest impact, but I think Gakpo is the one at the minute. I think he's probably undroppable.
I think Liverpool play better for me overall with the Gakpo in the team. And Jota, I don't know, I've never been fully sure about him, even though he does score a lot of goals. Your prediction, Stoyley? Prediction?
3-1 to Liverpool.
A very positive Ian Doyle prediction. That's good.
2-0.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say 3-1 as well to Liverpool. So there you have it. Hopefully, first win of the season for Liverpool tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday to talk Bournemouth, to talk potentially more transfers and more besides. See you then. Throughout.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.